Well, good morning, and invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 20. We'll begin there in just a moment. We're very happy to see all who've come out to worship our God today. What a wonderful privilege it is to come before the Creator of all, the one who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and with everything that we have, to come before the God of all grace, and to adore Him in song, to pray to Him, to remember the gift of His Son together, and to listen to His Word for a while. It's really a privilege, and I hope that you feel privileged to be here. We're thankful that you are. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 1, it says that David fled from Naioth to Ramah, and went and said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" Jonathan said to him, "By no means. You shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing either great or small without first telling me, and why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." David is in fear of his life. He knows that King Saul is after him. Jonathan, King Saul's son, David's close friend, is not convinced of this. David says, "Look here, Jonathan, your father's after me. He seeks for my life." And Jonathan says, "It's not so." In fact, he says, "You shall not die." Well, he's just wrong, wrong, and wrong, isn't he? David says to him, he took an oath again, it says in verse 3. And he says, "Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes, and he has said, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death.'" David, first of all, he knew that he was going to die. It might not be right then. It might not be by the hand of Saul. But he knew that Saul was after him. And he knew that his life was in danger. And I believe that as you look at the life of David, it was when, at times, that he was most fully aware of his mortality, that he was the best man that he could be for God. And I believe that the same is true of us today. When we come to realize that there is just a step between us and death, the certainty of our mortality helps us in so many ways. And it's that I'd like to share with you and speak with you about for just a few moments this morning. There is but a step between each one of us and death. Death is an inevitable step. And I'm not trying to be maudlin this morning. I'm not trying to bring everybody down and have everybody think negative thoughts and all of that sort of thing. But we need to realize this. We need to realize the inevitability, each and every one of us, of death. The psalmist writes in Psalm 89 and verse 48, "What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave?" Surely as all of us are alive, all of us will see death, or at least the cessation of life when the Lord returns, the cessation of life here on earth. In Job chapter 30 and verse 23, Job says, "I know that you will bring me to death." There's no doubt in his mind. Unlike what Jonathan told David, "You shall not die," Job says, "I know that you shall bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." All come to death. The house appointed for all the living. We'll get back to that maybe at the end of a lesson. But there is a place where we're all going. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment." Now what we've said here, I think most all of us realize, death is a certainty. But most of the time, it seems a very far-off certainty, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like it's really all that close. It may be inevitable. But it may be inevitable in 20, 40, 60, 80 years, depending on how old you are now. And most of us view death as something that's down the road and maybe way down the road. So yes, preacher, it's inevitable. But how near is it? There's but a step, is what David said. The implication is, it's a short step. James tries to inform us of this in the beautiful description in James chapter 4 and verse 13 of how we who are living and busy in life need to look at life in view of our own mortality. And he says in James chapter 4 and verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It is so transitory, so illusory. It's like, you ever catch a snowflake in your hand? And it disappears on the warmth of your hand as you're trying to figure out what to do with it. So is life. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. You do not know what will happen today. In the next moment. Anyone in here, at any moment, pass away of a heart attack or stroke, an aneurysm? We could get in the car and drive home from here. Be in a car accident that takes our lives. All of us know people to whom that has happened. Until just recently, I think most all of you realize I lived out in the Clements area. It's about a 12 or 13 mile drive out Highway 72. We lived out there since the January of 1994 until this year. As I made that drive back and forth every day, I was often reminded, because there are markers, crosses that people have put and other kinds of markers alongside the road, where friends of mine lost their lives in the time that we've lived here, right along that road. And I'll guarantee you one thing. Not one of them got up the morning that they died and thought, today is the day. It can happen all that quickly. Natural disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes. I think about the tsunami they had in Japan here a couple of years ago and just wiped out such a vast area. Those people got up that morning and had no idea. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about accidents, natural disasters, dread diseases, plane crashes. Your life can be taken in an instant. We live best when we are aware that death is near. Here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 90 and verse 10. This is a psalm of Moses. And he says that the days of our years are 70 years. The days of our lives are 70 years. If by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet they are, their boast is but labor and sorrow. It is soon cut off and we fly away. It is soon cut off and we fly away. Even if you live that 70 or 80 or longer, even if you live all of those years, it is still just a vapor. And the moment of passing will be here before you know it. And so he says in Psalm 90 and verse 12, teach us to number our days. Make us realize this, Lord. Help us. We should be praying that the Lord would teach us to number our days. And to realize perhaps that our days are numbered, so that we may get us a heart of wisdom. In the 39th Psalm, in verse 4, the psalmist says, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Can we pray that prayer? Make me know the number, that I may know how frail I truly am. John Climacus, who was a 7th century ascetic, wrote a composition entitled The Ladder of Divine Ascent. And in it, he made this observation that goes right along with what the psalmist said there in Psalm 39 and verse 4. And he said that you cannot pass a day devoutly unless you think of it as your last. We should be living every day as if it were our last. As we mentioned already this morning, we have several here who have lost dear loved ones recently. Even today, some of us will be going to the house of mourning. And that's a good thing. It's not a good thing to lose a loved one. There's sorrow there, even if they've passed away in the Lord. And yet it's a good thing to go to the house of mourning. Because Solomon says, that is the end of all men. And the living will take it to heart. It's a good thing to do, to spend some time in the house of mourning, to help you remember that your life is also brief. A man was sentenced to death by a judge. And he was asked how he felt about it, what he was thinking about. And he said, well, I'll tell you about one thing. He says, I'm not worried about how the theaters are run anymore. A man who knows he's going to die doesn't think about trivial things, does he? It brings him to a soberness about his eternal destiny. We live best when we realize that death is near. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Revelation chapter 14, 13 says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Let's spend some time thinking not only now about how that death is near to us, but that if we die in the Lord, we are blessed. To die in the Lord, first of all, is to be, you have to be in the Lord. In Romans chapter 6, please turn there with me in your Bibles to a familiar passage, but one that we need to think about. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Romans 6 and verse 3 says. As many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus. How do you get to be in the Lord? This passage teaches us that we're baptized into Christ. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. We get into Christ through this process of believing and being baptized into Him. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, the apostle makes the same sort of argument. He says, we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I want you to get the connection. If you've been zoning out here on me the last couple of seconds, follow what we're saying. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. How do you get in the Lord? You're baptized into Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have access to this blessedness. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. All of the blessings are in Christ. All of those blessings that we accrue even in and through death are in Christ. We must be in Christ to receive them. Blessed are the dead who die where? In the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, Revelation 14:13 had said. In the Lord, there is every spiritual blessing. In the Lord, we are in His presence. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Psalm 48 and verse 14. So whether we live or whether we die, if we're in the Lord is present with us and we are His. Romans 14 and verse 8, Paul had said, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. If we are His in life, we are His in death. He is our shepherd. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with us. Even in that, He will not forsake us. For to me to live is Christ, Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ is with him here and now, and Christ will be with him if he would depart as well. For he goes on to say, if to live on the flesh will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Wait a minute. Living is with Christ. And departing, dying, he would be with Christ. He's with Christ. Because he's in the Lord. God is with him. When we live with this consciousness that we are in the Lord and that death is near, the death itself doesn't matter that much. It's that we're in the Lord that matters. Because He'll be with us every step. On this side and on that side. A young business owner was opening a new branch. And a friend decided to send him a floral arrangement for the grand opening. When the friend arrived at the opening of the business, he was appalled to find out that the wreath that he had sent, that the florist had delivered, had the inscription on it, "Rest in peace." He was very, very angry that the wrong flowers had been delivered to the man's business opening. He complained to the florist about it. The florist, of course, apologized, but said, "Well, look at it this way. Somewhere a man is buried underneath a wreath that says, 'Best wishes in your new location.'" Really didn't matter, did it? If you're with Christ, you're in a good place, wherever your location is. In the Lord, then, we have such great comfort. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul encourages us this way. He says that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, those who are in Christ, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We'll always be with the Lord. Here, there. The important thing is to be in the Lord. In a prayer that's sometimes attributed to Francis of Assisi, I'm sure he did not write it, but it's called the Prayer of St. Francis. The last couple of lines go that it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That we are born into the presence of God forever and ever. If we are in Christ, if we're in the Lord, then when we die, what we have is a home. In John 14 and verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus said. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Here is home. Because here is where Christ is. And if we are in Him now, we'll be in Him then. We know Paul will write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, and the if there is not as if it's questionable. It's an if of certainty. It's a sense it will happen. Since it will be the case that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan earnestly, desired to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. We want to go and be with Jesus. We want to see His face. Friends and brethren, it's just so very vital that we live with this certainty of death, but a certainty that's equal to it, that the Lord is with us. He's with us now, and He will be with us and we with Him then and forever and ever. I've lived 54 years. I've been privileged to spend most of them in Christ. Each step I take, the Savior goes before me. And with His loving hand, He leads me on. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground He ever leads me on. Until someday, maybe someday soon, the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home.